Hello and welcome to Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo. I'm Ryan Bickle. On today's show, we'll be talking with Molly Hansen from Iowa Rivers Revival. We've talked to you before. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Jesse Lowry is here as well. And Jesse, why don't you start off today's show?
Thanks, Ryan. We are the only accredited zoo in Iowa. We've got 500,000 people in our audience. And so I think that makes it equals to having a great opportunity and responsibility to get messages out to our audience about how to save animals in the wild, how to take care of wildlife and wild places. And that can take many different forms. I see the zoo as a window to the wild, a place for the community to come in and see kind of a glimpse of what our natural world has to offer. But basically, our job is to turn that sense of awe that we all get when we see snow leopards and lions and giraffe and hornbills, turn that sense of awe into a real conservation action, something that's actually going to make a difference to endangered animals, both in Iowa and globally. So at Blank Park Zoo, we do this in many different ways. We are as sustainable and green as possible in our daily operations, and we really ask our audience to be as green as well, because our consumption, especially of single-use plastics and disposables, have a direct effect on wildlife, and I'm sure that Molly can support that claim with her work with Iowa's water and rivers. We also, if you want to, you know, have the biggest bang for your buck, taking care of your local environment is extremely important. We work through a program called Upcycle, which is a collaboration with the City of Des Moines and other local organizations like the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation to remove invasive plant species from local parks to give the native species room to grow. We, of course, have our Plant Grow Fly Pollinator Conservation Project, where we encourage people to plant butterfly gardens. And we also support field projects that are those individuals and organizations out on the front lines in the range countries taking care of these big charismatic megafauna, is a term that we like to say a lot in the zoo world. You know, International Rhino Foundation to take care of rhinos, Ruaha Carnivore Project to take care of lions in Tanzania, and Hornbill Research Project to take care of endangered hornbills in Thailand. And that's a really important role that a modern zoo can take. But the important part for everyone to take away is that a portion of every dollar made at Blank Park Zoo goes to these projects, goes to save lions in Africa, goes to save hornbills in Thailand, and goes to save turtles and other native species right here in Iowa. And it's something that we don't talk a lot about on this program, but is an important part of the puzzle, is advocacy and legislative action. We need to really attack these problems from all different angles. And convincing lawmakers as the leaders of our society to take action for wildlife and wild places and water and in our environment generally in Iowa is something extremely important. It's an extremely important part of the equation. And that's why we've invited Molly from Iowa Rivers Revival here today. So welcome again, Molly, to the show.
Thank you.
So what we want to talk to you about today, Molly, is what's going on right now at the Iowa State Capitol, what folks like us who care about our environment and wildlife in Iowa need to know, and what we should be calling our lawmakers to talk about. So I know we've got kind of a list to talk about today, and just before we get started, please give us a little bit of background about yourself and your role at Iowa Rivers Revival.
Sure. Okay, well, my name is Molly Hansen, and I am a Des Moines native. I have worked in a lot of areas of conservation. I worked in the County Conservation Board system for a long time, and that allowed me to get to actually get out and play in nature and kind of have that environmental education piece with both kids and animals. And so switching to a nonprofit role was a really, it just made sense for me, I guess, because, you know, really that's kind of what advocacy is. It's education. And, you know, our legislators have so many issues that they, you know, that come to their attention, right? You know, being up at the state house is overwhelming just as a visitor, let alone, you know, being responsible for everything that's kind of flying around up there. So, I think that's kind of the first piece, is when you have things that you care about, whether it's personally or professionally, you know, our job is to educate our leaders at every level, like you said. I mean, it could be your own neighborhood association, it could be your school, it could be your supervisors, your council members, your mayors. But you can also go up to the State House and talk directly with your elected officials about what's going on. And our group, we say we're a river advocacy group, so we're trying to be a voice for rivers, you know, when they don't always have one themselves.
And I think you already touched on a really important topic here, is that I believe that sometimes it's hard for these environmental issues to get traction at the State House level, because other bills and laws seem like they're more important and they have to be dealt with now, where sometimes environmental issues seem like they don't really affect us, or we can't really see how it affects our daily lives. Would you agree?
Definitely. I think, you know, we talk about bills up there, you know, we work with lobbyists and different groups all the time. And we talk about how some bills are even just a distraction, you know, which when you think about how many are up there and floating, we just had the first funnel last week. So, you know, anything that didn't get good movement is gone, and that helps kind of sift through a little bit. But there are so many huge issues. And I think the other big piece for a lot of advocates is we care about a lot of different things. You know, I care about the environment and water, but it doesn't mean I don't care about other things. And so how do you really use your voice to either activate others or activate your elected officials? And oftentimes they need to hear from their own constituents. So starting at that local level with your own community and kind of leading by example is often even a better approach than going up and talking at the Capitol.
And so what I want to do today, Molly, is go through some of the legislative priorities that we need to talk about that are currently happening right now. But let's leave a few minutes at the end to talk about how people can contact their lawmakers and what are some of the best practices to get folks to be heard and maybe change their mind. So let's go ahead and start with water trails.
Yes. So this is a very popular issue right now, which is wonderful for us. Obviously, you know, we talk about rivers and water trails all the time. But like you said, there's so many other things that take precedent. It's wonderful to see this conversation continuing to the point where we see it as a priority for a lot of people. So this is about Lowhead Dam mitigation or removal and water trails. So these are programs mostly functioning through our Department of Natural Resources, but Lowhead Dams are just kind of dangerous. You can't paddle through them. You can't float through them. And so any opportunity we have to remove those and kind of rewild that river so that it flows more naturally and floods more naturally and functions more naturally is a good thing. And we've found is great for recreation, fishing opportunities, as well as safety. And then the water trail expansion is just builds on that, you know, more places to put your canoe in and out of the water, handicap accessibility, you know, more locations for shorter stretches to paddle so that you can get new people out on the water. They don't feel like they have to go, you know, 10 miles down the river. They can just do 2 or 3 with their family. So it's really about kind of exposure and inclusivity and giving people that opportunity to really experience that natural resource. We kind of have this innate fear of our rivers, you know, are they clean? Are they safe? But giving people, and this is my environmental education background, but giving people that positive memory and experience, you know, on the water, they're much more likely to care about that resource than once they have that on there. And so there's a big plan right now for the Central Iowa Water Trails and Greenways Plan. It's through the Des Moines Metropolitan Planning Organization, and it has some really big support, and it's about expanding those opportunities, taking out some dams even in downtown Des Moines, and creating some really unique and exciting recreational attractions.
That sounds really exciting. A great opportunity for increased recreation, getting people connected to our rivers, to nature. It sounds like it would be great for the economy for downtown Des Moines. And is there a model out there of other towns or places in Iowa who have done this?
There are a few. So we have like multiple scaled projects that we're referring to. Some of them are in Iowa and some of them are in other states, kind of that bigger level that we're talking about downtown. So Boise, Idaho and Columbus, Georgia are two examples of places that have done a really cool whitewater amenity with a dam mitigation, like right through their downtown. Which is something that we're kind of comparing to as we talk about this idea. But even in Iowa, we have some Lowhead dams that have been taken out to put in whitewater courses. Manchester, Charles City, and Elkader are three cities in Iowa that you can literally go in the summer and grab a tube or a whitewater kayak or really just put on a life jacket and float through and have this kind of whitewater experience that is very new to Iowa.
That's really exciting. Now let's move on to the next bill or something that's being considered that also has to do with river restoration.
Yes. So this is kind of more of an idea than anything else yet, but our goal, our organization talks a lot about river restoration, and that's kind of, again, helping them go back to a more natural state. We've done a lot of work to our rivers in Iowa, whether it's straightening them or, you know, utilizing them for a water resource or things like that. And so helping them kind of go back to their more natural state can be, you know, a bank stabilization. It can be more of that like native plantings, what you were talking about earlier, not using invasives, but trying to embrace those kind of natural things that are supposed to be there for habitat improvement, and trying to reduce the amount of sediment and chemicals that are coming off of some of our larger agricultural areas to try and keep those areas separate, essentially, right? Creating a buffer between what's happening on the land and what's happening in the water. And so we really want to try and imagine what a river restoration program for Iowa would look like, which would be, you know, dedicated funding that could be prioritized into different watersheds to really kind of in a holistic way bring in a lot of partners and clean up that river stream section.
Again, it sounds like everything that you're talking about has so many multiple benefits for habitat, for wildlife, for recreation, connecting people to nature, the economy, and that's really common with things that are green and have to do with wildlife conservation. And so it seems to me like everybody wins.
Yeah, these are definitely like that. And the rivers, I mean, you can be as corny as you want, but they totally connect all of us, right? They're the perfect example of like what happens upstream affects your neighbors downstream and what you do, you know, affects people further downstream. And the other piece that we talk about too is public health. You know, like a lot of us have our water sources, you know, from rivers. Those of us who don't, maybe we want to play in it, but there's some hesitancy there too. So I think the more we do, also the more kind of benefit we will see to, you know, understanding how water is connected to all of us and affects, you know, public health for Iowa too.
Let's move on to a subject that we've talked about for many years. Tell us about IWell. And please start out with a little bit of a history.
No problem. And it has so many names, too. We've been talking about this, I mean, originally since about 2006. But the people of Iowa, you'll remember if you voted for it, it was in 2010. And that was to establish this trust fund. So it's established. It's written into code. It's just not funded. And this is known under a lot of names. It's called IWell. It's called, you know, we call it Fund the Trust, the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund. But all of it comes down to the next time our state, and some counties have done this individually, but it has to be the whole state, makes a decision to raise the sales tax 0.375, that will fund this trust. And it's for natural resources and outdoor recreation. And it would be over $180 million annually to go towards natural resources. And an estimated 50 to 60% of that would have a direct impact on improved water quality for the state of Iowa.
Give us some more examples of where that money would go to. Would it go to bike trails and what else specifically?
Sure. So there's a ton of different sections. There's a great website. If you just go Google IWell, you can learn a lot more about it. But they have, you know, that pie chart of where the different chunks go. And it's focused on a lot of things that people already enjoy, but kind of enhancing that aspect. So there's a section that goes to county parks and county conservation boards. There's a section that goes to trails openly. So that could be bike trails, walking trails, water trails, equestrian trails, but really like connecting and enhancing those around our state. There's pieces that would go, you know, directly into supporting everything from water utility companies being able to upgrade their systems, to setting aside even more areas of conservation, you know, these areas where we have, you know, maybe unique species or wildlife or things like that so that people can enjoy them more like that as well. And opportunities for, you know, grants and future projects as well. To really get things on the ground, and it's annual, right? So it generates that money every single year, so that people can really start planning and doing bigger projects about taking care of natural resources.
And what percentage of Iowa voters voted for this in 2000, you said 10?
Yeah, originally. And we've done some more polls since then. So the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation just released a new poll. They re-polled Iowans to make sure that people are still as enthusiastic as they were when they originally essentially voted and said, you know, tax me, raise my taxes. I want to support this. And generally speaking, with the existing formula and how things have gone, it's at about 69% of Iowans are still 100% in favor of this. And when you add in some other things about potentially, attaching it with some tax reform or making sure that it's tax neutral, so there could be some other things that are changed, or maybe even adjusting the formula a little bit, you see percentages like 70 and 80% of Iowans supporting this idea.
And it's really amazing to think about, you know, less than a penny from the sales tax could add up to so much money. So it could potentially have a huge impact. And I believe the model is there for other states, especially in the Midwest, that have passed taxes similar to this. Is that right?
Yep. If you've been, you know, recreating in Minnesota is a perfect example. You know, it's just something where you see these natural spaces that really have, you know, some legitimate, committed, sustainable funding to keeping them nice, keeping them enhanced, and really having that public outreach piece so that the public knows that these are their spaces and they can use them and enjoy them and make them part of, you know, their everyday life.
Okay. Well, hopefully this year is the year.
Hopefully.
Let's talk about REAP. What does REAP stand for?
Oh, no. REAP has been around for a really, really long time, and it's a resource enhancement protection program that's through the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. And a lot of people are familiar with REAP, including, you know, both of us, because REAP gives out grants. A lot of them have an environmental education aspect to it. Some of them are directly tied to actually, you know, doing work in conservation, but a lot of it is sort of the education and promotional pieces that you can do to highlight these natural areas around the state. So REAP has never been fully funded. It's always a budget line item. This program has been in existence for over 20 years. So a lot of organizations have benefited from this. And not only do we always want to make sure that there is money in that, you know, the REAP has money, but we're constantly looking to figure out, you know, if we can stretch our money further and expand that pool of REAP money so that more people can be advantaged, you know, from that. We're looking even this year, our organization, to help it fund our Master River Stewards program, which is an adult education course, just training river stewards around the state.
How much is REAP fully funded? Like, what dollar amount is that?
We're looking at, now it's never been fully funded in Iowa. When we hit about like $16 million, that's a pretty good year. And that can go into a lot of different projects. We'd love to see it hit the $20 million mark because it's something that's never been done. But we know that would even just get more projects off the ground. So when we talk about fully funding REAP, that's never been done before, but constantly looking to, you know, what we've done and can we push it a little bit further.
Can you give an example of a REAP program that you've been involved in?
Sure. So we've done a few different programs through REAP. They've been great to us. They actually helped us publish our Lowhead Dam Mitigation Success Story booklet so we could talk about those communities like Manchester and Charles Cities who have had great success with removing a Lowhead Dam and creating this recreational amenity and how that's now generating money for their community and things like that. So we've done some publications through them. And they've also helped with some of our environmental education and outreach programs with both kids and adults, getting them out on the water to have those experiences.
We just got a REAP grant last year, and we made it into our Iowa Hunters Leading the Way campaign, which is a non-led outreach campaign, specifically catering around bald eagles and other raptors. And so that was extremely beneficial and the only way that we were able to get this campaign off the ground. We made three identical displays, one's used by the zoo, one is shared by wildlife rehabbers in the state, and one will be traveling around to the different county conservation boards around the state. And so it's an extremely important a grant, you know, program in Iowa that has done so many wonderful things for environmental education and wildlife conservation in Iowa. So we hope to get it fully funded and hopefully it'll be available for years to come. So REAP is a program through the Department of Natural Resources. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit more about the DNR and legislative priorities?
Sure. We partner with the DNR a lot just because it's a very natural partnership for us. We're a small nonprofit and they have a rivers program. So actually the money that we advocate for funding for is for the DNR rivers program. So that's for Lowhead Dam Mitigation and Water Trails. It's a small program, but they actually end up doing a legitimate amount of work in-house with a small team and do a lot of outreach around the state. And so that's just one piece, of course, of what the giant, you know, what all the things that the DNR does and is responsible for. There are a lot of bills floating around right now to talk about different things like raising hunting and fishing licensing fees, because those all go back into different programs, as well as some different things. But This department is currently operating on a budget that's half of what it was 10 years ago. And so anytime that you think about, you know, a job duty that's the responsibility of the DNR, you know, they've been on a hiring freeze now for about 2 years, I think. And so anything that I think we can do to support our Department of Natural Resources to continue to do some of the really important work that they're doing is really important right now.
Molly, we're so glad that you're up at the Capitol and folks like you working hard every day to keep track of these bills. But I would guess that most people have never been to the Capitol to talk to their legislators, and many folks have never called their lawmakers. So let's talk about what are some of the best practices to talk to your lawmakers and let them know your what you support as far as new bills and laws.
Absolutely. And it can be really confusing to keep track of everything. So I think any tools that people come up with to kind of help them sort of navigate that is key. You know, we've done some small advocacy outreach, and a lot of what we recommend isn't even what's happening right now up at the Capitol. You know, it's crazy time up there, and getting time with your legislator can be really challenging this time of year. We really promote off-season advocacy. So in the spring and summer, when your legislators are home, you know, maybe you go to church together. Maybe, you know, you run into them at the grocery store, have a cup of coffee. That's one of the best times to get together with your local elected officials, because they have a little bit more time and they are a little bit more comfortable there too. But that being said, you know, there is a lot going on right now. And if there's an issue that you feel really passionate about that you want to talk to people, legislators, time and time again, they want to hear from their own constituents. So you want to look up who your legislators are. Just Google Iowa legislature, and there's a link that's called Find My Legislator. And you put your address in, and it'll spit you out with your senator and your representative. But remember your local levels too. I mean, I think, like we said, sometimes you got to start small and sort of build it up as well. And then the other thing that they recommend, the best way to talk to them is in person. If you can go up there, there are opportunities to, you know, to actually go meet with them in person. A phone call is the second best thing, because then they hear your voice. You can have a conversation. And honestly, the old school of a handwritten note or a handwritten letter, when if you're on social media, the amount of probably emails and surveys and petitions, you know, that kind of gets just floats around like white noise. But if all that information is available online, and if you want to write a personal note or a postcard too, even that can be impactful.
It's easy to get amped up on issues, right? To be full of emotion, but it's probably best to dial the emotion down and just have a conversation, right?
Absolutely. I mean, remember, they're hearing from so many people on really, you know, issues that people are really, really passionate about. And so in general, whether you attend a legislative forum or write them a letter or see them in person, remember that they're just like us, right? They're a person, they have a job, they have a family, and really they relate to those personal stories. So talk about why this issue matters to you, your family, your community, because that's their community. You're a constituent of them. And so if you make this relevant and tell your story, you know, that's a much more effective way to do it. And understanding that you and your legislator may not agree on all issues, but you can probably find common issues that you do agree on. And that's a really good place to start.
You know, sometimes I think people feel frustrated that they feel, especially today, that folks are voting down the party line and that no minds can be changed. But have you had experience, and other colleagues of yours at the Capitol, that people do change their mind?
Definitely. I mean, especially from our elected officials in terms of You know, they all have their own kind of personal interests as well, too. And so, you know, like I said, you can find some unlikely allies in different areas. It doesn't mean they're going to agree with you on everything, but there are certain issues that, you know, you can convince people to work either across party lines or maybe agree with you about one thing specifically, knowing that your politics don't necessarily align too. But I think it is about finding your common ground and finding a place to work out from that, as well as, you know, like the voting and the frustration. Those are real situations. And there are a lot of times when we see, you know, that maybe it doesn't matter. But I think you can't develop that cynical attitude, because for everyone who doesn't care, there's 10 more people who do. And so just remember that however you're feeling about an issue, that, you know, there are other people out there who feel that way too. And so even just raising your voice can give more people the confidence to do the same.
And I would also add that you don't need to be an expert at the bill or the process of how bills move through the Capitol, that you can just have your personal story and find out who your lawmaker is, and they will really appreciate the feedback.
Absolutely. We've been told that's way more effective even. You know, your stories are powerful, and so that should be your number one message, and then figuring out you know, some common ground and things like that. The process is always going to be a little convoluted, but there are people up there to help you navigate through that. So focus on your issues and your story, and, you know, find your legislators to share that with.
Where should people go to find out more information about what bills are, you know, being considered right now, so they know what to go talk to the lawmakers about?
Definitely. If you support any specific organizations, Iowa Rivers Revival is one perfect example, but there are a lot that put out every week during the session, you know, like we call it a legislative update. So we list all the forums that are going on that weekend in case you want to attend one. We talk about where some key bills have gone, as well as a reminder of our legislative priorities. So if you subscribe to a group, you know, get on their newsletter, things like that, they may do half the work for you and let you know what's going on. Google Iowa Legislature. You can look up all the legislators, all the bills, kind of understand where they're going. And I also would recommend even going up to the Capitol. This year they're pink, but there are little books that have all the committees, all the legislators, and they're like their real contact information, like their phone numbers. And I've had great luck actually having legislators answer their personal cell phones to, you know, and so go up and grab that book and get some information too. As well as you can subscribe to different, like your specific legislators will put out blasts as well too.
Molly, thank you so much for sharing your expertise today and really encouraging us all to get active and talk to our lawmakers. I also want to say thank you for being involved in Blank Park Zoo conservation for years. And no matter how busy your schedule is, you always volunteer at the Monarch Fest and you're always at our meetings. And we really appreciate your efforts.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's great.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And if you want to learn more about Blank Park Zoo, head over to our website, blankparkzoo.com. Well, that's all we have for you today, so tune in next time for Saving Animals with Blank Park Zoo.